Well, my other guests haven't shown up, so why don't you join me?
I got my cat.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And why don't you grab that one over there? And, yeah. Not that that does much, but... Okay, so Johnny Christmas is joining us.
Hey.
And give me a minute to get your microphone working. Right now?
Mic check. There it is.
There you
cool.
go. There you go.
All right.
All right.
Is this the famous 26 o'clock?
It is.
Nice.
Well, this is the less famous version of it, where for a change, no one bothered to show up.
Oh, I mean, I can easily.
I mean, you could continue the tradition of no one showing up for the show.
I could find attendees too.
Well, I. No.
It's interesting, you have, like, no one showed up, and yet there's 1,000 people out there. Like,
yeah, no, we are surrounded by many, many people who all want to talk very, very loudly, but
yeah.
None of them actually want to come in here and
interesting.
Talk to us.
I left my absinthe out there. I'm going to go grab it really quick. I mean, I should get the one I have so it's not wasted,
yeah, okay,
but
sure.
I will be right back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, don't,
okay.
don't do that. Don't do that. So, in the meantime, let's have a recap of what little I actually witnessed at the conference, since, as usual, I kind of went everywhere other than where the actual conference was. We had a lot of great talks. We had a very well-attended series of keynotes featuring Chelsea Manning and Barrett Brown, who were both sort of central activist and whistleblower figures, particularly involved with.
I apologize. He wants to try this, so now I'm gonna. I've been asking
him. Particularly associated with, amongst other things, the uprisings of the so-called Arab Spring. And a number of other incidents around that time, exposing, doing their best to expose what they viewed as malfeasance on the part of the U.S. government, and attempting to, in a very difficult situation, do their best to express their values and morals. We also had a number of people share their art and passion, and quite a lot of people really just trying to make their way in the world and get by as best they can. And that's the thing about hope, is that it is very much the product of what everyone brings to it. And unfortunately, at the moment, that mostly seems to be a lot of very loud liquor-fueled conversation on the messenger. So just for a few moments, I think we'll just give you a sample of the ambient sound of the mezzanine on this very early morning of the last day of the Circle of Hope. They once again left me alone, which is...
I thought...
I mean, it's remarkable. Usually, it's a fight to get people to not barge in randomly, and now...
Right. Oh, that's... Sorry.
And now, yeah.
I thought I saw Side Pocket wander in here, so I was like, well, okay, I got a few minutes.
Yeah, he has been popping in and out, trying to help me get things sorted out. Oh, well.
I have you blocked by the bottles, so
okay,
you're good.
Okay, that's fine, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Camera policy is very important here.
Yeah. The bottles was the funny part, so I was...
Yeah, that's the important thing
yeah.
here.
Jeez.
Yeah, come on, people. Clean up the studio after here.
I've been cleaning the studio regularly all day like the custodial staff. Is anyone on the... Do you have the IRC up there?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's on it. I mean, we actually have a lot of Australian and European Union listeners, which is cool, so they might be chatting in there. Look for a textual. Yeah, there you got it.
There we go.
I pulled my headphone cable out here.
Oh, no. Now, while Johnny fixes that, let's see.
Fixed.
Yeah, so far I have not seen anything in the last roughly 20 minutes.
All right. Hey, guys, if you're up and awake, head on down to irc.2600.net and jump on radio-statler. That's the channel we're in, hanging out at 26 o'clock with Night Owl.
Yep.
And we're chilling at Hope.
Yeah. So we're closing in on the final day of what is once again the largest Hope conference. I mean, that's sort of a thing that every year it's the largest Hope conference ever.
Yeah. What do you have an actual number for this year?
I do not. If any of the registration people were still conscious, I could try to get some numbers out of them.
Security might know, but there's an incident currently.
Oh, is there?
Again? Medical, not a security incident.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, yes, our security staff doubles as medical. So
yeah. And you know what? They were quite attentive. I saw the incident happen, and they were on it immediately. And
no,
they sober up right quick, and ambulance is on the way.
Our security staff is very, very responsive and takes their job very seriously.
Yeah, and they've been, many of them have been here for decades.
Oh, at least.
Yeah. What was your first Hope?
My very first Hope was the last Hope.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
No, and I mean, even that year I showed up and people see a guy in a beard and sunglasses and they go, oh, hey, I know you from DEF CON. I know you from this. I know you from that. I've seen you all. Like,
No, I'm just a guy in a beard.
I'm just a guy with a beard and I wear sunglasses sometimes.
I know it's weird.
I know it's weird, but we're not all the same person.
Yeah.
But, you know, a certain amount of not disagreeing too vociferously very quickly gets you accepted and integrated into things.
Yeah. I was the one with the beard. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And through there, I got involved in Tool and Radio Statler and various other
So you only got involved in Tool.
Well, Tool had not really existed prior to that.
You know what? I just realized the last Hope was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that was either the first or the second Hope at which the U.S. branch of Tool actually existed and was here.
Really?
Yeah.
See, all of the Hopes
because
blur together in my head.
It was about 2004 or 2006 that the European, the original Tool members came to Hope to share some of their Locksport stuff, and they met Eric Michaud and Deviant and all of the other sort of founders of the U.S. branch of Tool.
Yeah.
And they got together and they were like, oh, you know, this is really cool. We all love doing this stuff, but we had no idea that you could do this organized thing. And the guys from the European branch said, you know, you should just form an American branch of Tool.
I didn't know that's where that started.
Yeah.
I was at that panel.
It started at Hope.
I was at that panel where the Tool.nl guys had come in, and they had Bernie S. up there.
Sure.
But I remember them talking about...
Well, because they had all met people at Chaos Camp and...
Sure,
World
yeah.
Camp and all of the European...
The huge.
Yeah, all the European camps and conferences and things where they make the rounds.
I think my favorite... I don't know. One of my favorite parts of Hope is the fact that we have such a sister community in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool, especially with CCC. It's amazing.
That was, the amazing thing is, at least as I understand it, that was really part of the hope and the intention behind Emmanuel and the 2600 staff starting this conference series.
Yes,
the idea of trying to bring the European style of conferences and camps to the U.S. And because in the U.S., yes, we've got tons of open wilderness land, but
yeah.
very few places that are actually very useful for a camp like
the Chaos
Computer Camp and some of the other big sort of outdoor semi-wildernessy European events.
Yeah.
Whereas we do have tons of urban areas with hotels and convention centers that, look, as long as you can stump up enough money, they're not going to question things too much. And once you show up a couple of times and manage to not burn the place down, and you keep paying them on time, they kind of go, yeah, oh, okay, you guys are kind of weird, but you actually paid the bills, so all right.
And you didn't break most things.
Right.
One of my favorite first...
You broke less things than the conferences that try to skip on the bills, and it's full of a bunch of drunk sales managers from Omaha. Not to necessarily denigrate Omaha specifically.
You know, actually, I've had some great times in Omaha.
I know some very fine people from Omaha.
Are they sales managers?
No. They are mostly retired military intelligence.
Oh, how'd they end up in Omaha?
Air Force.
Okay.
They've got a large presence out in Nevada.
They sure do.
And
as I understand, there's a large Air Force presence in Nevada. All the Netflix documentaries have told me.
I mean, that's the thing about Western and Midwestern states. You got a lot of open space and too many people to complain when you're flying faster than the speed of sound.
Mm-hmm. And salt flats.
Right.
To land and take off on. Yeah. Or
just
run
really
your
really flat land.
Yeah, to run your world record breaking land vehicles.
Right, you know.
What are we dropping here? What do we got? What's side pocket just came in with a Hochbrus.
Frigo. Okay, we need some cups. We need some cups.
Yeah, that's what's in.
Makavas Bricklen. What is this? This is beyond the German I can fake.
Get some cups.
Okay.
So, Johnny, this is... I'm not sure this is actually German. This might
Frigio.
Be...
This is not German.
Oh, no, this is... It is German.
Yeah?
It is German.
Wow.
Yeah, if you go down to the bottom left there, it's Remshalden, Germany, and it has a .de domain.
All right, whatever.
But this is basically almost but not quite Pop Rocks, and almost but not quite... Have you flown on JetBlue recently?
No.
Okay. Well,
I fear for my life too much.
Okay. I mean,
Of all the fear for your life airlines, JetBlue's probably the best. I'll cop to it.
Yeah. I mean, as a person who does everything I can possible to avoid flying.
Okay.
Flying on JetBlue, aside from their baggage handlers, is actually a pretty decent experience.
You know what? I shouldn't be saying negative things because I have stock in JetBlue.
Well, don't denigrate a company that you hold stock in unless you're...
And it was because I believed in their mission. And,
well, that's fair. You know,
I don't fly them.
Believing in a company is important if you're going to invest in them. That was always my policy during my very brief time trying to play the market. But anyway, back to the point. On JetBlue, they have a thing where they have sort of ready-made cocktails where you get a glass,
mm-hmm.
you get a alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and they give you a mixer packet that is like a dehydrated mixer packet. And so this is a sort of combination of Pop Rocks and this flavor crystals sort of thing.
Interesting.
And so the idea behind this is technically we don't need cups, but it really, really helps, is that what you do is you take a slug of...
You can have it.
No, get serious. Someone, apparently either alcohol poisoning or something, there's EMTs in here.
No, he ran into the wall on a Segway.
Yeah. And security's like, if there's alcohol visible, it has to be hidden.
Yeah, because cops... Okay.
Yeah,
please.
No.
If it's visible,
Yeah, just close the door. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, we're sorry, folks. We're dealing with a medical emergency here. The fuzz is showing up, and we have to hide the hooch like we're a speakeasy in the 30s.
Yeah. No, there's serious focus of stuff going on.
I know. I saw it happen. It was. Yeah. I may have a dream about that tonight. It was weird.
Well,
so this is what Night Owl's just. Oh, by the way, Night Owl, have you met Kate?
Very briefly, in passing.
It's my girlfriend, Kate.
Oh, nice to actually be completely introduced to you, Kate.
She's finally come to Hope.
On the TV.
On the TV. Her mic's not on, I don't think.
Oh,
Red.
Just keep talking and.
I'll just keep talking.
And say hello.
There it is.
Here we are.
Hi, Kate.
Okay.
Hello.
Kate has a beautiful radio voice.
None of those buttons over there are labeled. So I just sort of have to guess.
You look for the red tape.
Red one.
You have blue tape. She has red tape.
On the board, there is nothing.
Oh, this.
There's just the pre-printed
numbers. Just bad.
Could you tell me more about this?
Yes. So this is sort of half Pop Rocks, half.
It looks like Pop Rocks.
Half beverage flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you would take a shot of grain alcohol. Or
does it have to be
vodka.
Grain? Oh, okay.
It can be.
Potato.
I mean, the idea is anything with a minimum of flavor.
A minimum.
A minimum of flavor, because that's what the little packet of crystals is.
Compensate.
And we have grain alcohol here.
Yes.
1 second.
Is that what's
so? The
about
idea
to happen?
Is that you tear the packet open.
Are we all doing this together?
Well, we're kind of lacking glassware, so I think we're going to have to do it in turn unless we come together.
I've already opened mine, and now I feel premature.
Oh, yes, yes.
I just had a shot of that, and that is very... That's better.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you've just done, and you're a saint among saints. Here's
also
a glass for you. I found it, though. It's not...
Yeah, that's mostly
It's
used.
Not clean.
No,
that
it's
one's
not
clean either, and I'm not sure I'm worried about that.
I mean... This has some good...
I don't want to make an argument for either way. I just...
The way this works, it's not going to be...
Are you saying pleasant next, or...?
Well, it could be worse.
How's it going? Sit down.
It's all right. Sit down. Sit down.
I have this. I put some headphones on.
Yes. Put some headphones on.
He's also red.
Keep talking.
Yep. Check the pick. Here we go. Yep.
Okay. Is that talking here? Yep. I think I actually figured that one out now.
You've
got a good.
Better voice.
I think you have the last clean cup, so the rest of us will just have to swig the bottle.
I found one on.
And I'll walk everyone. I can help walk everyone through it. I don't mind. You know, I should be way more liquid up than I should now. But yeah.
Lower side pockets, Mike, a little if you could find it.
Yeah,
I liked his voice the way it is.
We should be at the same level.
There we go.
Roughly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is it good? Maybe a little louder now. I get to poke it.
Stay in this range. Check.
That's
check,
pretty
check.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Awesome.
All right. So the idea is, we've got a little packet of flavor crystals,
and yours are lemon.
Thank you. One dark one for
yes,
this.
Yes. The yellow is lemon. I believe the green is supposed to be lime.
I would like to believe that.
Oh.
One dark one brought these?
Yeah. No. This is her thing. This is her thing.
And she let me keep a bunch, and I saved them just for hope.
She's fantastic. She's a good friend.
Yeah.
I think this sort of reddish pink one is supposed to be raspberry.
Yeah. Okay.
And I suspect the orange one is orange.
We'll find out.
I mean,
we will find out very
briefly.
In German on the top it says orange. Which it's French, I'm sorry. It's orange.
No.
I mean, that is also German.
Okay.
I don't care what was in that cup. If you want me to do them, you can pass me that one.
I think we do want you to do them.
I just want to call out that I got a notification that somebody has opened a bug.
I don't have the thing.
This is mine, by the way.
I'm helping.
Yes.
Also, I want to quickly announce that I do have video games out for display if anyone wants to play.
Okay, anyone who is listening and is present can go mess with SciPocket's video game collection outside.
Ooh, that's neat. By the Radio Statler booth.
Yeah. Particularly right now is running is I have a collection of Street Fighter games. Alpha 3, different versions of Street Fighter 2, the works.
Okay, so back to the explanation of these little packets of
this is really
suspicious
cool.
crystals that we're holding.
Yeah.
And the...
This
glasses
is almost
of clear
not
liquid
meth.
That we are preparing. The idea...
It's like meth for kids, but for adults.
But
the idea...
Adults. We're all adults, right?
Go on.
Is that you will dump the packet of crystals into your mouth,
and then your mouth, not the drink.
Do your shot.
Swing it around.
Swing it around real quick and swallow.
Raise your glass and yell ahoy.
And yell ahoy.
Ahoy.
Oh, because it says ahoy. What is the other brace?
Ahoy, bros.
Ahoy, bros. Ahoy.
So.
Ahoy, hoy. Can I say ahoy, hoy?
We're going three.
We already did.
I got it.
You don't have to do it at the same time. Oh. It's one person.
Where is the grain alcohol?
Ahoy.
Oh, you say it afterwards.
Do half of that. That will fucking
kill
you.
Okay, wait. What it was? It was. It goes rocks.
Yeah.
Alcohol. Rocks. Swish. Swallow. Ahoy, hoy.
Yeah. Ahoy.
Okay.
Only do like a bit. That is stupid.
Oh, I know. This is
rocks. Yeah, shot. Swish. Swallow. Shout.
Woo. Ahoy.
Yeah.
Ahoy.
Because that is generally the reaction to having just.
Oh.
There's a lot happening.
Yes.
Oh!
I think his after hoy is from the drink, though, not from the pop rocks.
This is why you never drink with me.
I think that was the issue.
What's happening in my head?
So
this tastes like a costume from the attic, you know?
Oh! The orange was really good, but... Oh!
Oh, this... I'm sending this to Wonder Woman, and I'm going to tell her, like, hey, Melanie,
okay, so about
this tastes like an attic costume. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the orange was good. Highly recommend the orange. Yes. The experience is fucking bizarre. Yeah.
And particularly
Personally, I am quite partial to the lemon and the lime, but...
Yeah, I like
and that's
it.
Why you chose
like
that while you were... That's what I would do as well.
And I mean, at the time, there was just two people here.
I wish she was here because she literally has like three
Tupperwares
full of
those
packets.
I mean, I actually kind of
wish
like
I had
the lime
more,
too,
but yes.
You can have the packaging if it would make you feel
better. Thank you. Yeah.
It's a cool experience.
Smells nice.
Yeah.
From here, it smells like sulfur or it's something else.
I mean, there's a lot of other things in here that probably smell of sulfur.
I'm not going to guess.
You're
That's fine.
Radio Stat. Welcome, Radio Stat. You're in hell.
Hello.
Actually, I think it's all of the overheated vinyl and rubber.
It smells
mixed
like
with
that
the day-old coffee stain smell that now has a nice woody.
I mean, there's also
nice
all the stale coffee.
He said nice. The nice smell that you get from the old moldy coffee.
Yes.
I mean,
Polish household. Yes.
Oh, there it is.
Classy, Johnny. Keep it classy.
It's the Pop Rocks.
8.4.
And that's what they all say. They all say it was the Pop Rocks.
I do say that a lot. That is my catchphrase.
Johnny, how many catchphrases do you have now?
I don't think I have any.
I mean...
Can you all list them?
No, because...
Wait, is One Dark One's Twitter name Herb Powell?
No, it's
no,
one.
No,
one.
But...
Right,
one
but like...
And then dark, and then spelled out one.
Oh, I reversed it, and that is someone named Herb Powell, which is a Simpsons reference, which is fantastic.
Still message
yes,
that
also,
person.
Also, you started that with a zero, I think.
One dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really, really want to get
it. It should be an I. The avatar is usually an I.
Right.
All right, I'll figure this out. I just want to make sure she gets credit
eye,
for this
like
fantastic thing I just did.
Eye.
Yes.
I should have taken pictures or a video of that reaction, to be honest.
Oh, man, there was so much going on inside my face. Because there's, like, the
that,
first off,
I
gotta, like...
I have to say, okay. that is a vision that I will treasure always.
Yes. The way it's been described to me is that there's so much going on in your face that is trying to escape to the outside of your face.
Yeah, yes. I just needed it to be outside of my face. That's exactly what it was. So the orange...
Why are you cautious now?
Gross.
Get the fuck in here.
What are you doing?
Hello.
And close
the
door.
Close the door.
Come on, man.
So the orange?
We're all naked in here.
Who doesn't know this dude?
Okay.
What do you go by these days, by the way?
I'm the Great Cornholio.
Oh, yeah.
We all go by the Great Cornholio, sir.
Hand me the
here you go. Well, there goes that. That is the ringtone for 26 o'clock.
That is the funniest thing ever. All right.
So, how are you guys looking at?
Oh, your mic's not up. Hold up.
Gang
right
there.
Now.
Right
hold
now.
Up, Gene Simmons.
One, two.
There it is. You got it.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
so he's
okay.
Actually kind of loud.
I'm actually...
Ahoy shots. Are we doing ahoy shots?
We just did them.
You
missed the best facial reaction.
Oh, you know what? So the orange, super flavorful, delicious, kind of tart, really cool.
He's making that up.
No, it is. I really liked it. The pop rocksiness, like, it's a hint of pop rocks. You were exactly right. It's sort of pop rocks.
Yep.
I liked it.
Five faces you make while you swallow.
And so, like, first off, it's tasty. Mm-hmm. Second face is, so you do the grain alcohol, which is just, it's hot. It's
my
spicy.
My shit,
those
by the way,
different
yes.
things.
It's a crazy, hot, you're like, oh. And then the pop rocks start going, you're like, oh.
It's foaming in my face.
Yeah, but it's still delicious.
And I don't have rabies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the way I've described to people is it's like Pixie Sticks for adults.
So I can actually
I gotta figure out where these plug in
for adults.
All right,
you give him a moment and he'll make it happen.
So let's go around. Okay. Who do we got in here?
Look, I make telephones happen at random at home.
Yeah. Oh my god, this is the pop rocks, I swear.
Radio Statler recruiter doesn't label anything.
No one needs to though. So you plug it into this.
Mic check. No, I don't hear anything.
What's the?
You're good. I hear you.
The thing is, we've got only.
I hear you.
We've only got four ports on them.
I'll fix it.
Yeah, if you understand how this thing works.
No, he was here Thursday, so I'll fix it.
Oop, well, there goes those.
He didn't need them. He wanted them.
Wait, we have one that might actually already work.
We're missing a thing here is what happened.
It's
so
plugged in right here, darling.
Okay. Here, just take those off. Use these.
All right, it's plugged in.
I've attached my arm to yours.
Okay. Wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
I mean,
it won't be the last.
I mean, anyway. I think someone did.
All right, actually, hear myself.
I'll be right back. So. I'm going to bring in something that might also be an interesting topic, but please continue your fantastic description.
This is G.I. Jack on the air.
Oh, G.I. Jack.
Okay, yeah, we've got G.I. Jack here, and
finally,
the studio is a strange, is a disturbingly happy Howard Payne carrying some.
Pizza.
It looks like ham and bacon.
Dude, that
I think
to
it's
be
barbecue.
It's a Ninja Turtles power up.
It could be barbecue.
Really happy.
Might be. It might be buffalo chicken.
It looked like ham and bacon.
This is a Ninja Turtles power up. Like those NES games and like.
So for those of you, for those of you who don't know Howard Payne, a couple of years ago,
but
in case you don't, Howard Payne. Is probably best known at Hope for the presentation he gave along with DeviantOlaf a couple of years ago on elevators and crazy fun things you can do with them.
Yeah. Dude, I have sent that talk to so many people.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, it is great fun.
I don't think we've sat in the same room before. So
I think we've sat in the same room, but maybe not gotten to know each other.
Oh, right. We haven't sat in a this sort of setting.
Not in the setting.
You were out there. I was, yeah.
You're
it's great to hang out with you.
I was in the audience.
Yeah. G.I. Jack, also, I mean, you're a Twitter staple.
Oh, shit, really? Fuck.
You know what? You come up in my feed all the time. I mean, you're usually harassing me, but...
I harass everybody. I don't... you could get offended, but like...
No, you're
like
cool. I don't
like anybody. It's like my political views is I'm a moderate socialist, but like half the SJW still block me because I'm an asshole. And the alt-right also hates me because I don't like them either. and if you think that's bad, I go specifically hard on the Hillary people. But I'm a diehard Bernie supporter.
You know what? We had successfully kept politics out of this entire show.
What the fuck, Jack?
Who did you vote for?
Jack, so, we managed to go an entire 36 minutes into this program.
What's well, because I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Straight up an asshole.
You know what we have? All right, come on.
No.
This is
side pocket.
That was okay. We'll so my original idea.
That's
is
some old hope shit.
Yeah.
Side pocket. That. No.
I had the idea.
Pocket,
I never get to implement this.
You have to turn it on and put it down.
No.
Is Render Man here?
I did see Brad here earlier.
This is
I spend a lot of time with
Brad.
I love that he's here.
So I used to have a friend, right, that used to have like...
Is his name Friend, right?
No,
I'm pretty sure it's just Side Pocket.
So hang on 1 second before that story starts.
I mean, since this entire story seems to be told while G.I. Jack is...
Fondles
sort of
a dildo, let's just say it.
He is holding
fondling
one with a
and examining
is,
in detail a
If,
bright,
if it's
a
something
bright,
appropriate,
magenta,
it's not
articulated dildo.
I would like to call out.
Hot pink.
It resembles.
Is that hot pink?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would have said magenta. But
you did already say magenta.
Well, I did. Yes.
I would like to call out, if I can.
You may.
The OMG famedom level of the people currently accidentally involved in this broadcast. We have Night Owl. Of Tool
Very
fame,
famous.
Who I only just discovered has only been involved in Tool fame for about 10 years since that's when Tool started in the U.S.,
only
which blew my fucking mind.
Actually, less than that, because it then
Oh, after right. Yeah.
So here's the thing. After I discovered that Tool existed by showing up...
What were you doing before that?
Well, they didn't exist.
Mostly just waiting around the house for something to happen.
Right. Working really, really crappy IT jobs. And, and hating myself.
That's
as most of us do.
I mean, that's... No, Jack, no.
Are you going to eat those?
That cackle, though.
Yeah, that cackle.
There you go.
You're a wise person.
Anyway, so before that, Tool didn't really exist, and I wasn't really involved in Hope or 2600 meetings or anything else.
Which is amazing to me because, in my mind, you are one of the core parts of Hope that I love.
And that's probably still
and
true.
It's, so, yeah. So what happened was, I showed up at the Last Hope.
The Last Hope or the Last Hope?
The Last Hope.
The all capitals.
Yeah.
Last Hope.
I had
proper noun.
Hope 2008. Yeah. 2008.
Yes.
If we're talking about...
I mean, that is the way we used to say it back in the 90s.
All right, yeah. I wonder if we're going to have one called A New Hope. It we almost really have to at this point.
You know what? I told them the Hope after the Last Hope needs to be called A New Hope, and they didn't do it, and everyone.
Because it's this shit called intellectual property, and like...
This back
I mean, they decided to just make it impossible to actually use common terms of relative reference. The next.
We have the unfortunate number of 13 to overcome.
Yes, well...
I've been overcoming this con for 2 days now.
I mean,
13's unfortunate.
I've been on this con on just whiskey and diet pills.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I mean, I get like half a sentence into this story and...
Okay, so continue.
Let's go. We're going to go around the table. Everybody shut up while somebody else
is talking. We're going to go into these stupid stories, and we're actually going to finish them for once.
Love stupid stories.
Yes.
Let me interrupt your story to tell you how I love stupid stories.
Night Owl in the front.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Night Owl's telling the story.
Dude.
But you have
go!
All right. So, I go to The Last Hope, I discover that Tool is sort of a thing, I come back, I'm like, hey, guys, I want to get involved in this, how does that happen? And they say, oh...
Suck someone's dick.
No, actually, they were just like, oh, you should show up at your local meetings.
Wait, you didn't have to do that then?
No, that was either well after that, or well before that.
Everybody that had to join under him.
Okay.
I thought it was
anyway.
Like a multi-level marketing program. Honestly.
Yeah, no.
I thought you had to like have somebody in your downline. And
well, yeah. I mean, there is that, but that's why you show up to the meetings. Anyway, so then it took me about 6 years to find my local meetings. It really did.
Wow. Okay. Like, so I understand that it's Tool, the Chicago Tool meetups, and I mean that's the third largest city in the country. Has an average attendance of like eight people,
sure.
And it's in a weird place. So yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's in a hacker space, but you have to know it's there. All
right.
Right. Okay.
And I mean, also New York City did and sort of still does have the issue of not having an official stable meeting place. Like, very lately, we have managed to find a fairly reliable place that hasn't thrown us out yet. Which we are very happy about.
Sure.
But at the time, it was, oh yeah, just, and actually it still says on the website, yeah, just subscribe to the mailing list and we'll send out announcements. Well, I sat on the mailing list for 6 years.
Oops.
And then I finally saw one. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm gonna show up. And I showed up to the meeting and it's like, oh yeah, no, I've been trying to find this meeting for 6 goddamn years. So we did that, and like a month or so later, I was working the New York Maker Faire for Tool, and that just sort of happened. And then now, several years later, I am now the organizer of the chapter in New York, and I know I do a shitty job of it, but this is literally... one of many, many things that I do while I flail around and attempt to start a business and
What's
slowly
your business?
Start to
Can
death.
We talk about that?
Sure. I am...
The free plug.
As of fairly recently, I am a fully licensed New York City locksmith.
Yeah, and that's
that is not to say that that is not a very difficult thing to achieve.
I really want to point out how incredible that is. You've gone from discovering Tool, discovering that locksmithing and lockpicking is a thing.
I thought he just got done saying it wasn't that big of a deal.
I'll be honest. I have.
Of course, he did.
I have Schlage locks on my apartment that
you
bought
the double
from Night Owl.
Confused me. Yeah.
Right. Sorry. And so now it is a big downplay.
You're saying not to downplay, but it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes. That I have. Okay.
And more or less, like
he's really good. I mean, I have like Schlage locks on my door, on my apartment door that I got from him.
Yes. I happen to have.
Yeah. So you know, basically, if you're in this community and you actually need lock work done, I firmly recommend this guy.
If you're in the New York community.
Of course, yes. New York area.
How often do you go to Michigan?
I mean, I am able to trade across state lines. I simply, in many cases, cannot do local installation work.
Okay.
So you can buy the lock from you and install it yourself.
Yes,
it'll be very difficult to pick. You can order
custom work for me, or if you have any vintage or antique locks that you want restored, that is one of many things that I do.
I really want to point out how much of a Hope success story that is. And, you know, I understand you're still trying to get off the ground.
I mean,
but
it would be really great if I actually had a client base and made enough money to eat.
I will point out with Night Owl, I've been places and I've seen like either weird locks or weird keys, and I've literally picture messaged him either the key or the lock, and he's responded within 15 minutes of he's found the exact schematics. So this guy is not
like,
just good, he's beyond good.
Number, here's the model, and here.
Yeah. So if you
spam out, you should spam out like your Google Maps link so we can at least give you good ratings.
Yeah, I mean, he did
five stars.
As soon as I get that sorted out, because it is actually a little bit difficult with the way that New York City, with the way that New York City law works, because I do not currently have a commercial storefront to work out of. I am classified as an itinerant locksmith, which means I cannot have a fixed address.
Okay.
But you can have a van?
Yeah, I can have a mobile workshop.
Oh, that's way better.
Okay.
Yeah, who wants an address when you can have a van?
In some ways it's a lot better. In other ways, accessing modern advertising systems is much more awkward when you cannot list a fixed address. I have, in fact, found several people who are technically violating New York City law.
Ah.
Because.
Thank you.
Because they are in a very similar situation to me, but they decided they wanted to go and list themselves on Google Maps.
That sucks.
Except that they are listing their apartment, which happens to be within a distance of a retail establishment. Locksmith. And the New York City licensing law says that an itinerant locksmith may not establish a stand or fixed place of business within a certain distance of a fixed locksmith shop.
So are you filing complaints?
I am not. In the cases of the people that I have found this on, also tend to also really, really not understand basic OPSEC. So they like to do things like install a brand new, very, very expensive multi-lock system on someone's apartment door, and then post a photo of their installation work with the keys.
Wonderful.
High-res view, very nice and clear, on their Google business listing.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
And of course, the image is also geotagged.
Five stars.
Why is that a problem? Well, I'm not familiar with that being
with
an issue
the talk
in the past.
That we gave 2 years ago.
Yeah, so like, explain that on the radio. It's just
that talk.
Right, that talk, Johnny.
When Night Owl over here, again, was one of the guys who dropped a 0 day on the TSA key because they published the pictures and he's able to reverse it.
The one that I dropped actually was the only one that they did not release a photo of.
Yeah, that he
so
reversed
he's more
that
badass.
One.
Which key?
That was the Safe Skies.
Safe Skies.
Oh,
yeah. And
yeah.
That was
all
a,
the, all skies, the yeah.
And that was a hilarious story because yes. It was the first Locky disassembled, and he was like, no, this is just, there's no way
stupid.
They did this. And they
this
used
is so stupid.
The gag was they used the master key.
As the key.
As the key.
Well, why not, right? It opens
right.
A lot.
Right, like, why make more keys? Why? We have shit
have
to do.
Yeah, this is a lock TSA. That you could buy for like $8 a piece.
When he first told me this, I asked them to repeat it because I thought I did not understand.
I was like, no, literally this is just keyed only to the master key. And I walked into, I think it was Walgreens, was like the only place in New York City that stocked them. And I just walked into Walgreens. I grabbed a shopping basket at the door. I walked up to their like travel supply section, and they have just like three racks of Safe Skies locks. And I just hold the basket up, and I just scrape all of them off one, off the other, off the third one, walk back down to the cashier. I'm like, right, I want this entire basket of luggage locks.
Yeah.
And the person's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, that ain't shit. Doot,
yeah, doot, just doot.
Less for me to face later.
Right.
I don't have to scan each one. I can just multiply it by
exactly.
20.
Exactly. So they just bring me up, and I walk out with this shopping bag full of these things that I can now literally do whatever the heck I want to because these things are not serialized. Yep. They've got no tracking whatsoever. I'm buying these things at a random convenience store in Midtown Manhattan in cash. I take him home. Huh. You know what? This is like Zamac. I've got this Dremel tool. Okay, that was a nice 5 minutes.
Commence the Dremeling.
Commence the Dremeling and quickly stop the Dremeling because, oh God, Zamac is so soft.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it just, yeah, it, I mean it melts almost.
Yeah.
Like you get about half an inch, and then the rest of it just sort of melts with the friction, the heat that you have built up from the friction of that first half inch of cutting. And
all right.
So this thing just falls apart on me. I'm like, no, this really cannot be that simple. It is just the simplest wafer lock in the world. Four wafers, very simple spacing. You can very clearly see the key profile. And literally all I have to do is just take a piece of plastic in there, press on the wafers.
But the TSA was clear about it. You know, they said, well, we're only concerned about aviation security, not your security, just
exactly.
Aviation security. So
exactly.
who cares about your luggage?
Yeah.
We just care about whether you're, you know,
we just care about whether or not we can rummage around in your stuff.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
Security.
So, continuing with the intros, because Kate and I are going to duck out now.
Sure. Let's introduce Kate then, because I don't
Hi,
think
my
we've.
Name
had,
is Kate.
I think we.
That's Kate. Yeah. She's VagCat on Twitter.
Oh,
it's just like an unfortunate.
That's you.
That's VagCat.
Hey.
Yeah.
I
which
would
is
like to, I would like to think it's pronounced VyCat.
VyCat.
My last name is Vita. The V-A-J-V-A. Vita actually is how it's pronounced. The V-A-J. The A-J makes a long I sound.
Can
it's
you
Hungarian. Pull? It means King of the Gypsies.
All right.
And I am now VyCat instead of VagCat.
Cool.
Can you please...
Because I have gotten to interesting...
Somebody slap Johnny.
I have gotten into interesting situations because of that name.
Can you please tell the VagCat story?
I'm not sure I can.
Veg... What? Oh, Jesus.
There's nothing wrong with VagCats.
Oh, absolutely nothing. I
own two of them.
Oh. You do not. You may have half. I think...
Yeah, it's I'll have to ask SciPocket if he has one of those as well, but he seems to be into all
everyone's
that kind of
got
fetish
one.
Stuff.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Check this story out. It's amazing. It's a great DEF CON tale.
I frequent DEF CON. This will be this year will be my upcoming 10th DEF CON.
Cool. Hopefully it'll be my first if I make it out there.
I hope you do, because I would love to show you what DEF CON's all about. At one point, I was following a man with cheese on his head, and I think it's not a cheese head like a guy from Wisconsin. It's not the same thing.
It's just a piece of cheese.
It was a guy with a platter of cheese on his head. Like he's balancing.
Okay, you're going to have to specify because you're at Hope and everyone here is kind of drunk, high, and doing all kinds of
things. Okay, so imagine a platter of cheese.
Cheese like the dairy product.
Yeah, I know.
On a platter like the thing cheese is on.
In an arranged way that it makes it look fantastic and it's on this man's head. He's balancing it. We're on an elevator.
Yeah.
How was the presentation of the cheese?
Like, gorgeous.
I would say that it actually had like a... It was clockwise, the way it was spread out.
I'm going to fucking blow it to Las Vegas Hunter Thompson style with a suitcase full of drugs. I mean,
it was well presented.
If there were drugs, I didn't know where they were. But I did know where the cheese was. And it was on this man's head.
Yeah.
And I was on an elevator. I followed this man. And he and I had a 3-hour conversation about mental health.
On the elevator.
I could only imagine. Like, I mean,
were you stuck in the elevator?
Yeah.
This is a particular interest to Howard.
Yeah.
I'm sure the conversation about mental health went on for quite some time you and the man with the cheese on his head.
We had actually gotten off of the elevator. We were sitting on an elevator floor where there were parties. Things were going on. It was a fantastic time. We had a great conversation. I really enjoyed this person's perspective.
And cheese.
And his cheese, because I did eat some. The floor cheese and the head cheese. Let's not dive.
Head cheese. Yeah.
Not the same thing. But yeah, so anyways. But
not actual head cheese, just cheese from head.
While I waited on this floor for the next elevator, a lady showed up, and she wanted to introduce herself to me, and she had a bottle of tequila.
That's the best type of person with a bottle of tequila.
She was very nice. She was very nice. Thank you. Is it like...
Oh, well.
You can have it back if you'd like. But my phone is an NSA monitor device.
Yes.
So I met this this lady, and she had a bottle of tequila, and we had just finished the cheese thing, and I was waiting on the elevator heading back, and she said, "What's your name?" "My name is Pussy Hunter."
So Vag Cat
and I said,
ran into Pussy Hunter.
And I said,
a true story here.
My name is Vag Cat. And she said, "Awesome. Would you like a shot of tequila?" So we drank a bit. And then I ran from her, actually, because she wanted to chain me down. She said that. And that's when I met
She was very upfront with it, to be fair.
What?
I think a lot of things just got skipped, but... The moral of the story is, I met a lady named Pussy Hunter, and I introduced myself as Veg Cat. I think we're friends for life at this point.
And the rest was history.
And it was.
Yeah, this just sounds like...
I mean, fairly literally, yeah. But, okay.
I don't want...
It's kind of a strange story, but, all right. I mean, that's...
It took a moment to get there.
Yeah.
And here we are.
No. I mean, it was an interesting lead-in with the cheese and all.
The guy with the cheese, I'm pretty sure...
I mean, it's important.
That's where
it's
I met...
It's important to the context.
Fail open.
Oh, yeah.
He either was a person with the cheese, or he was with me when we found the cheese.
I don't recall hearing about him routinely carrying cheese around on his head, although that may have happened.
I would say this was back in the Rio.
Oh.
Well, a lot of crazy things happened
in the
Rio.
Is a Caesar's Entertainment
property.
This was
past the Masquerade. It was the Masquerade elevators that this all happened in.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can definitely buy cheese platters in the room.
I would like to think you could buy a cheese platter anywhere you go.
This particular one is about, you know, it's provided by room service, so they'll bring it up, and then you can put it on your head once they bring it.
Or anyone's
head. I want you to do that.
I'm not going to be there this year, but I assure you I've ordered the cheese platter at Caesar's Properties before.
On behalf of some other individual.
I'm not going to say I put it on my head.
Whose head did you put it on?
You're going to pull like a Hunter Thompson bill and a bullshit credit card
hotel
and then blow out of fucking Vegas like
no, Jack,
a different
you.
Car.
That's you, Jack.
That's me. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. That's what I'm going to do.
You're the guy
in Vegas.
Who starts off with a drunken argument over whether or not it is entirely possible for you to trade in your camera and a rental car in order to buy a Vincent Black Shadow so that you can cover a motorcycle race.
Yeah,
and then somehow end up running from the law in a way that turns out to you returning to the scene of the crime and checking in under a different name with an even larger suitcase of drugs than you left town with.
I'm down for this. I am totally down for this.
I'm just saying that.
And I'm going to have to write this out, too.
Of the people that I have encountered here that would likely to be actually interested in attempting a full recreation.
Yeah, I you know what? I am honored because Hunter Thompson is one of my favorite writers, and
he's a great writer and a fantastic storyteller. He may not be a great role model though.
Well, I think I'm well past like the good role model stage of like my life.
Well,
where...
yes, it's obviously too late for you, Jack.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, as long as you're still better than Gene Simmons, you can be the good Gene Simmons.
I mean, there is that.
Yeah. Well, let's keep going with the intros. Next up is G.I. Jack.
Since we've gotten into that, yeah.
G.I. fucking Jack.
G.I. Jack, the All-American Zero. I have not consumed any illicit substances this year yet, unlike last one.
Sure.
I brought some cannabis to smoke, but I didn't smoke it yet. But
we're on the air.
We all know now.
That's hypothetical, by the way.
Hypothetical.
Yeah.
Theoretically, he may have done so at some point in the distant past, which is completely past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, and depends on when the future is. This
time,
is as well.
Time is a man-made construct.
Exactly. I do nothing.
Look, the important thing is he is not currently committing crimes.
No.
He does well.
No,
and none of us are, in fact, associated with that.
There's no cannabis here.
Absolutely not. No, I was joking. Everybody, like, just calm down.
What? And I condemn it on the air, okay? I condemn cannabis officially.
Officially on the air.
Free, you know.
Why don't you get on the right side of history, Sergeant Payne?
All right, fine. I retract my condemnation of cannabis. In light of information I've been presented by John.
It was just decriminalized in Jersey City yesterday.
Which was just an angry taunt.
I'm just going to say, personally, I'm not a fan.
I'm a New Yorker.
You.
I can waver on cannabis legalization, okay?
We're all innocent until proven
guilty. Well, yes, absolutely. Hey,
all right.
I'm just saying I'm
next.
Not a, personally,
next up.
It doesn't agree with me. And
hey, you could always just come up north in October, eh?
Oh, that's right. You ditched Chicago now, you... traitor.
And fucking Boston. Yeah,
I didn't want to live in Trumpistan, so I'm living in Canuckistan.
How is that?
She used to be in Chicago.
Oh, it's great.
They've got great health care.
That's a big thing. The health care, you know, just going and, you know, every day just going to a different doctor and not having to worry about the bills there.
All we do up there is just go to the doctors and smoke the weed, eh?
Oh, the medical weed.
Oh, yeah. Don't
you know. Yeah.
and get some Tim's. You gotta get some Tim's.
How's the poutine though, yeah? Oh,
hey, hold up. Legit though, Tim Hortons. If real talk.
They have
like,
coffee,
legit.
Donuts,
they have
and
the
bagels.
Best soup.
You know, there used to be a Tim Hortons across the street from this hotel.
It wasn't across the street. It was next to the front entrance.
You're wrong.
Where they had that. No, they had that.
Well, yes, there was that one
next.
But they moved.
Just to the south of the main entrance.
Yes.
Of this hotel was a pocket Tim Hortons.
Yes.
But I live in Michigan. I could go anywhere, and I'm in Canada.
Dumb.
But
no, you're jelly though.
I think they just sell like candy bars and batteries out of it.
Do you eat the battery
candy
bar?
What do you need?
Yes.
The one thing you got to say about Tim Hortons, they also have the best promo ever. You know, the roll up the rim, or as it should be more properly known.
Roll up the rim job.
Yeah, give Tim a rim job.
Okay.
Wait, why?
You guys are gross.
Jesus Christ.
Twisted minds.
Is this place with the rim jobs like Dunkin' Donuts for the States, or what is this Tim Hortons you're talking about
Think of Tim Hortons.
I mean, it sounds
except,
like a coffee shop with rim jobs.
Except they're more frequently run across, and you'll find a McDonald's here. You will find there is probably a map somewhere that shows the literally hundreds of places where the Tim Hortons is on the corner opposite the Tim Hortons.
Okay.
Tim
Ho.
Oh, okay. So
it's like Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's just so pervasive.
It's Starbucks with donuts and amazing soup.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What
so
soup?
it's like an actual coffee shop. It's like an actual coffee shop, but as frequent as Starbucks is here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Starbucks, we used to call them $4, so that's what you pay for a cup of coffee.
When I visit Canada,
that's overly optimistic.
Tim Hortons is one of the things I'm excited about. They have Tim Hortons. They have two Tim Hortons in the Toronto airport.
Yeah, shot.
To be honest with you,
I get the soup.
What
the last time I tried
this,
I don't blame you.
Chicken noodle.
The last time I tried visiting Canada was like 2012. I was doing low voltage at the time, like, so like
is
I
that
had
a drug. Is that a kind of drug?
Low voltage.
It sounds like the switchyard is.
I was
there.
Loaded up on low voltage and crossing the border.
I mean,
I was like,
that sounds like the beginning of a William Gibson short story.
It
I
is
was doing low voltage.
Like yeah. Honestly, my life is a William Gibson story. Like I live in Jersey City. I live in like the fucking slums of Jersey City. And then, like, I could literally ride my electric skateboard, like, from the slums in Jersey
Which
City.
One do you have?
A Meepo.
Oh, all right. I got a boosted V2.
Yeah, don't ever get a Meepo. They fucking suck.
I know. I did a lot of
research.
All right,
we're not having this argument right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
I just use an e-bike when I'm in town.
Argument. We're in a creep.
Tell us more about your e-bike.
So,
because
so
the reason why I got like an e-skate is because like I have a Harley and I'd rather be on a Harley because they're fucking park it, right? So a friend of a friend of a friend in like a club that was friend with the club that I was in was like, yeah, I mean, we got this garage, you can park it here, it's about half my way, but like I can take it in the city, but like if I go by time, the tolls and parking, just tolls and parking, it'd be like $700 a month like at work. I'm like, yeah, fuck this, alright? So, like, $500, like, this fucking, like, longboard with a fucking, like, Black & Decker motor on it, right?
Keep going.
So, stop hopefully, this, the EMPs cool. aren't called the second time, you fuck it. But, okay, so...
it's all post-watershed, and we're not by the FCC, so it's all cool.
Okay, so what...
yes.
For any regulators listening, I don't know what they're talking about, but I will not... be cursing on the air.
Okay, so there's this punk
I'm gonna
band.
Wait for my lawyer. I'm gonna
dildo
wait for my
is not a curse word.
That's so true. It is not. It is not one of the seven dirty words.
That's true. I'll say dildo.
Oh, no,
so
it is not
like
one of the seven dirty words.
So
and as we all know, those are bleep bleep
so
bleep.
So I have
bleep,
to take
bleep,
the
bleep,
PATH train
and motherfucker
home, like to Jersey City, and it literally be like a mile and a half walk from the PATH station. So one day I'm walking home and I see this kid's got an e-skateboard. I'm like, that thing got a motor on it. I'm like, oh, fuck you. My beat ass is walking and this kid's got like a motor on a skateboard. I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'm getting one of those things. Like, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, it's
you,
like they throw
you,
out like
you took the kid's skateboard?
That's the way I interpreted that sentence.
I mean,
it sounds like a very Jersey way of handling
like,
things.
Like,
I took that
like,
honestly.
Like, I'm getting that right now.
Forget about it. Like, Jesus Christ, forget about it, right? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, right?
I'm not worried.
Fuck.
Look, Jack, all we're worried about is did you just make us all accessories after the fact to a
Absolutely
felony?
Not. It's like
not a felony if they're underage.
We're all innocent until
it's just like the cannabis. I was joking. Like,
That makes it worse.
I want my console.
Hey, well, maybe we should make America great again.
Oh.
Like, with cannabis,
Johnny,
I was like literally talking about like.
Johnny. No.
No?
No.
No? Okay, don't make America great again.
Okay,
okay,
I'm okay
fine.
Yeah, yeah, there was a guy walking around with like a MAGA hat.
Moving
on. Next in the intro segment, I'd like to introduce
Aphrodite.
Hey, how are
I'm cutting
you?
Your mic.
And really, I would like to introduce Aphrodite. Aphrodite is OG Hope. How long have you been coming here?
H2K.
Same here.
Hell yeah. Ah,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, heck yeah.
You're in one of those VHS videos I bought back in the day.
Yeah. God, that was insane. Honest, true story about that one is, I mean, I've been helping with Hope ever since. And the reason I got started helping Hope in the first place, I pulled the wrong color lanyard.
Which color was it?
I pulled
though?
The red one.
Oh, no.
And next thing I know,
Lesson
I am standing
learned.
On top of a table directing people for the keynotes.
You're on staff.
Yep.
Yep.
And you've been doing it ever since.
I have been doing it ever since.
Hell yeah.
No, and every year you've done a great job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You've done a fantastic job. I know you've been doing this at least as long as I've been coming here.
Me? Her?
Aphrodite.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Aphrodite is one of the people that I view as a staple.
I was thinking the word staple. I think that fits well.
Yeah, and really, I mean,
you know, if I don't see Aphrodite on at least by at least the end of the first full day of Hope, I'm kind of like, what's going on
here? That was
something's not.
That was pretty much exactly what I was going to say. Aphrodite is one of the people I see when I come to Hope, and I go, I'm home. I'm at Hope. Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
accidentally.
You're going okay.
I mean, and I've survived some crazy stuff to be here. I mean, like, three hopes ago, I actually had cancer, and I, yeah. I,
whoa. You yeah, gotta say that's something.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's also one of the reasons I'm not drinking tonight. But.
Can we say cheers to you?
Hey, I'm still breathing. I'm alive. It's okay.
And that's
they just went in there with the chainsaws about 6 weeks before Hope, and I thought that because of this, I wasn't going to be able to go that year.
This year? Or
no,
six years ago. 6 years ago, but I remember that now.
6 weeks ago,
I remember
and now
that.
You're here. Like, yeah. Let's do it.
Oh God, no. I mean,
that was kind of the reaction that at the time.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just like, yeah, I just did that, and I mean, now, fuck yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I did this. I'm here. And then, of course, what was funny to me is what happened during that event. I mean, at that time, I was working with security still, and I get some yahoo saying that they heard there's something going on the roof. I don't like going on the roof.
Wait, which
on the roof at Hope?
On the roof?
You do not go on the roof at Hope.
I do not. Advocate going on the roof.
Did you should not see
because the pool on the roof and it's closed.
See, and that's what I heard, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go on to the roof later. So tell me why I can't.
Because the pool's closed and it's leaking.
Is it due to
AIDS? It's got AIDS.
Well, sure.
Yeah, and it's leaking.
It's on fire.
It's on the
heat rises, especially during the summer.
The AIDS are
it's made
on
entirely
fire.
Of asbestos.
Yeah. And yet is on fire. Yeah.
So I'm not going there later.
Yeah,
well,
no.
I have a serious question to ask for the non-roofers that have expressed this. So if we're not supposed to be on the roof at Hope, has anybody noticed that the in-room magazine in everyone's room here says rooftops in New York City worth the climb or whatever it says?
Yes.
It's literally encouraging you to go on the rooftop.
I've been seeing that on other signs as well throughout town, and it's like, no, not this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Well, frankly,
no, I mean, they proudly list their status on that, and yet don't go up there.
No, I'm not.
Because it's just a pit of burning asbestos and black mold.
And also, hypothetically, you'll actually get arrested.
You know what? I understand
in a pool
the desire
that is also made
this
of asbestos and black mold.
Yeah. I understand the desire to explore this space because, well, a hacker's gonna hack. But asbestos flaming pools are not a good place to visit.
No,
okay.
Not.
If you put this in layman terms,
especially flaming pools of asbestos and black mold that also tend to get you arrested and charged with criminal trespass.
Yes.
Okay, it was explained to me when I was doing security.
As much as we appreciate our friends on the NIPD, or whatever it's called. I don't know how you pronounce NYP. Yes, local law enforcement.
We appreciate
with great intensity. We prefer to appreciate them from a distance.
Yeah, I prefer to appreciate them from Chicago. It's working great.
Yeah. So I was on security in 2016, and as they explained to me, there are now 1080p cameras all throughout the building. So if you're going
to
do anything...
To be fair, I've bought a lot of 1080p cameras that are really fucking shitty.
Okay, well,
look,
if you want a chance,
the key point, though, is that even really crappy cameras can still tell someone that, hey... There might be someone where there's not supposed to be a person.
There's definitely like at least 10 times as many cameras.
Says the guy who was famous for being at DEF CON because he was the one with the beard.
Right.
I've seen that beard.
He gets many great, like, oh, we met at DEF CON. He's like,
no, we did not.
I'm just a guy with a beard.
I have been...
Can't recognize you without your sunglasses.
I have been in Las Vegas twice, and both of those times were layovers.
DEF CON?
No. I have been to Las Vegas in the same way that I have been to Rome. I happened to pass through that airport while transferring between one flight
to
another.
Where were you going when you stopped in Rome?
Tuscany.
Neat.
Florence.
Ah.
Yeah. And then Venice, and then back to Florence, and then...
Yeah. I've not gone to DEF CON nice either. Yes, I know.
There's still some Italian people that are angry at me, but that's a whole separate thing.
One time I thought I left New York City, but it was just a bad dream.
Yeah,
well, I mean, yeah, you just wound up in Staten Island. It happens to some good people, but like... hopefully
people
you find your way out
there, man.
It's
dangerous.
No, it's terrible.
Well, there is one thing I would suggest to folks that, you know, have the Hope Hangover next year. And that is the camps in Europe. There's Chaos Camp next year.
Yeah.
Years.
No, if you,
think
if you
10
can,
it's on our short
if
list.
You can.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of
hackers.
Great camps in Germany. Just careful with the showers.
Oh, they shower there now?
Jack.
maybe they don't shower, but like.
Look, Jack,
I'm going to tell you something. Smell like once it, you've like, gone to a Jack. Hacker camp in Europe, I mean, you get the. I mean, I've gone to Dutch camp, I've gone to Chaos, I've been doing it since 2001. And you get the same kind of community feel there that you find at home.
Nice.
Even though, like, for instance, last time at Chaos Camp, it was nearly, 10,000 hackers from all over the world?
That's fine, I'm sorry.
You find yourself a village, a group of like-minded hackers, you hang out, you get to do cool stuff, you get to see cool people from everywhere. A lot of people, and this is one of the things that makes me kind of sad, is that there's a lot of people that cannot or will not come to Hope because of the fact that we're inside the U.S.
Aww. Yeah. No, that is unfortunately becoming an increasingly common reaction. I think a certain amount of that has been happening for a while. Mm-hmm. There's always been a certain reluctance, particularly for a lot of people. But I think the biggest impetus for that was the arrest last year of MalwareTech on his way home.
Yeah. I would say that I've seen this as a trend, though, since Hope 5 in 2004, where I've been seeing fewer and fewer folks from outside of North America come into this. And it's, you know, we're about hacking on Earth, and it's I love seeing people coming in from everywhere, but I have problems at customs.
Sure.
And I understand.
I have no problems.
Yeah.
I mean, also, more recently, we have Trump's revocation of many of the extended visas that we had given to countries that fought with us in foreign wars. So that also has interfered with a lot of people's abilities to easily visit the country, including Australia, you know, Germany, like, you know, people like to call it racist and like he's like hating on Mexicans or something. But this was universal.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of. There's been a.
I mean, even at the Canadian border. Canadians.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Canadians, for pity's sake.
To be fair, Canadian customs is the most Gestapo customs on the planet.
Oh, they're very aggressive. It's true. They are very aggressive.
It's like the last time I went through customs, it's like 2012. I thought I'd just head into Canada, take like a nice ride on my Harley, and they're like. Literally even pulled the gas tank off my bike.
Yeah.
I mean, so I went through I went through Canadian customs back in 2000.
Ooh.
And that was the nicest, easiest.
They're very nice.
I will say
inspection ever.
Things were different back then.
Prior to 2001. Yeah, it could have been.
I mean, really September 11th. Very unfortunately, was the tipping point. Well, no, that was the point where suddenly the U.S. said, okay, no more crossing the Canadian border on just a driver's license.
Yeah, and then Canada now got uppity.
And then Canada says, well, okay, you're not going to let us easily go back and forth to buy groceries and shit. Well, fine, then you're going to be a dick, we're going to be a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually cross the border with some frequency because I do have some stuff that, you know, I cannot get them to ship up to me.
That's you can say meth.
Oh, no. If I need meth, I mean, there's an intersection right near where I work. It's the ground. It is the ground zero of the opioid epidemic in Canada. So if I need some interesting stuff, I could always go there and find some street pharmacist willing to give me a prescription.
Oh, no, it's like the block I live in, Jersey City.
The point is.
Two streets over, right? I'm walking, like, taking a shortcut on the way back from the gym. And, like, all of a sudden, there's two cop cars, 12 cops, guns drawn, pull at my goddamn head. And I'm like, what the hell is going on, you know, officers? And they're like, we're doing an investigation. I'm like...
With bullets.
They literally search everything. I'm like, okay, so what do you think I'm doing? I'm like, heroin, man. Fuck out here.
I'm too fat for heroin.
So it's like... So they're like, why are you a white boy right here in Jersey City? I'm like, I live here. Why do you live here? The apartment was cheap.
I could afford the rent.
Hovnanian built the building. I don't know. They just
so like they read my ID and they're like, oh yeah, this guy does live here.
No, thank you.
I'm going to stay. I've got no idea where that came
from.
No, thank you. No,
you know where you can stick that.
We have this.
No,
we have
whatever you like.
Ladies
no
and gentlemen, we're full listeners remember, throughout the United States, we are currently settling a dispute related to the dildo.
The future dildo.
No soliciting.
A dildo.
No soliciting.
One's dildo.
No, no, no. All right.
That was the last lawyer to show DEF CON 201.
Continuing.
I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, continuing the intros.
Fantastic evening.
So when I pull,
I'm Johnny Christmas signing off. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tit, fart, turd, and twat.
There's no all right,
have fun, Johnny.
Have fun, both of you.
All right, there's Johnny.
I farm radio. Yay.
This is GI Jack. I gotta go find people. And Night Owl, it's been awesome. You're an amazing.
All right.
If you need a locksmith, Night Owl, New York City, he's the best.
Thank you very much for the endorsement, Jack.
Yeah.
And thank you for helping out.
No problem.
You should go. Yeah. All right. Let's just cut some of these extra mics. So I need the two of you and me to try to just do some mic checks while I
don't know what I'm talking into now.
Right now, I'm speaking. Microphone. It's cutting in and out. I'm speaking into the microphone.
Okay.
It's currently working.
I don't recognize this thing.
All
is
right.
this a mic?
Yes,
is this
it is.
A dildo?
No, it's not.
Oh, that's the dildo.
Yeah.
I can confirm that the fuchsia dildo is back.
Give that back to Side Pocket. I'm fairly sure he knows what to do with it.
To our friends on IRC, feel free to enter the completely non-existent drawing for the dildo, the official Radio Statler sex toy.
Wait, let's try to monetize this. Also, if you visit us on patreon.com/fuchsia dildo and contribute $5 or more, you can be entered into our sweepstakes to win the fuchsia dildo.
Also, for a payment of $3,000, we will not send you the fuchsia dildo. Continuing 26 o'clock's giveaways of things you don't want. Just remember, this is just like the old Monty Python game, Blackmail. The more you pay, the less we send you.
We've also got some broken asbestos vinyl tiles.
Oh yeah,
that we're going to be auctioning off pretty shortly.
We have a broken steam pipe.
Excellent. Yeah, we've got a. I was going to say rotary telephone, but people here would want that.
Yeah, and also there's mine.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I mean, I've got spares, so it's not.
But it's a rotary telephone, but. It's got like a lazy wheel,
oh,
so it doesn't
yeah.
dial right anyway.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's just
no,
a paperweight.
It,
you know.
That 8 is always a tricky one.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know. It,
no, it's just, the fact the grease has not been changed in the gear pack since about 1953.
That would do it.
And it's a bit sticky. I mean, that's what happens when you don't service a Western Electric 500 for like 80 years.
And right now, by the way, we're taking calls from listeners. If you have a Western Electric 500 series phone and you're looking for some troubleshooting advice,
just
we are here.
Just dial 958.
dial us on Klondike 567.
Or wait, what was what was the
611
would work. But didn't Ninex have their own exchange for service numbers? I believe there's a 3-digit code in every area code.
So
that was for
there was actually
service.
Several. In the New York telephone and later 9X service area.
You said 958. I reckon. I thought that was
958
ANAC,
was ANAC.
Yeah.
For all of the New York telephone territory.
Right.
It was not necessarily universal throughout all of 9X.
Okay.
It did get extended to much of 9X, but because of the nature of many of these smaller. Because of the nature of many of these smaller rural exchanges, which until the time at which 9X was bought out by Bell Atlantic and they merged as the new behemoth Bell Atlantic, which eventually merged with SBC and became Verizon.
Verizon, yeah.
Yes, it was SBC.
But yeah, but I believe
but anyway,
they had a three-digit
they
reserved
they
exchange.
They did have a number.
Was it 870? 770? I feel like something 70.
So, across the entirety of the Bell system and many of the independents, once the North American numbering plan was implemented, 611 was reserved for repair service.
Correct.
And it would automatically route you to your central office's repair service bureau, regardless of where you were. within different municipalities or service areas, depending on your central office, you might have additional specific exchange codes that would immediately direct you to your central office's test bench, coin-op repair, coin-op service bureau, coin-op operations, business office, and of course that was back in the day when there was actually a, well, actually quite a lot like the Verizon stores now, where there was an actual physical store you could walk into and say, hey, I want telephone service in my home, and I'd like a telephone that looks like that. And someone would sit down with you and work out a rate plan and calling plan and say, okay, a technician will come out to your house in 3 weeks to run the line and install your telephones. How many extensions do you want? Do you want one of our special feature phones? We've got the princess phone and it lights up.
And don't, just so you know the contract, I mean, the contract is until you die.
Yeah, pretty much. But yes, regrettably, I do not have the New York Telephone Internal Service Directory on my person. Otherwise, I'd be able to tell you actually exactly what all of those numbers were for any particular central office you care to name.
The only one I remember really off the top of my head that you sparked my memory of when you were recalling all that was you were speaking to payphone service centers. Mm. I remember when they started digitizing payphones in the late 1990s, they were using if I'm not mistaken, it was the Elcotel Gemini 2 was the model.
Oh, yes, there were quite a lot of those.
And if you dialed pound coin, C-O-I-N, it would route you to, dialing it didn't make the switch do anything, but it made the payphone dial an 800 number or some other number that would be, you know, their coin service center.
Well, it gave you a toll-free call.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was specifically listed as an 800 number is a separate thing, because 800 was established as a area code specifically for commercial businesses to essentially have a toll-free alias for whatever their actual outward-facing number was. Whereas within the telephone company, they could make whatever they wanted toll-free, and really they just frequently made it toll-free on the back end by just deciding to remember to not charge you.
Right.
When they felt like it.
Sure.
A lot of
loop numbers and things were toll-free, effectively.
Yes.
Even though they were 10-digit dialing and not 800.
Right.
Yeah.
And test bench numbers and all those things were very frequently not... They weren't technically toll-free. What they were unaccounted numbers.
Right.
Where there was no tracking. If you dialed that number, there was just no accounting.
I could be wrong, but I thought it had something to do with, they didn't start billing until the call was technically answered under, like, call supervision rules. And they technically considered it was never actually an answered call, even though it was giving you 1,000 hertz or whatever message.
With a lot of loops, that was the case. There were a lot of different things depending on exactly what time period and exactly what equipment you were working under. But yes, in theory, very frequently the theoretical rule was that you weren't billed until the call was completed. By default, once you had direct dialing, you kind of lost the option of doing person-to-person dialing. If you remember, if you've watched Dr. Strangelove, you remember the scene of Peter Sellers on the payphone trying to call the President of the United States while an angry paratrooper holds a gun on him, and he discovers that he doesn't have enough pocket change to make a person-to-person call, and he's trying to negotiate with the operator.
Yeah. You're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
Exactly. You know what happens if the president doesn't? If you don't get the president on that phone, you're gonna have to answer to the Coca-Cola company. Shoots up the cola machine.
Gets sprayed.
Yeah. Very nice bit of physical comedy, actually, on his part for a guy who is not really normally a comedic actor.
No, but fantastic film.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wonderful film in a lot of ways.
Kubrick got so many amazing performances through that.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, the happiest accident of that movie would have been having to get Slim Pickens instead of having Peter Sellers also be the pilot.
Yes, no, having Slim Pickens as the captain of the bomber crew was fantastic. A very young James Earl Jones, actually.
It was his first movie role.
Yes.
Really?
It was his very, very first appearance in a major film.
That's incredible.
Prior to that, he was only able to find roles on stage.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, he was fairly unknown, but very small role, but did a fantastic job with what he was given.
Yeah. Notably, he's the only one there that questions the bombing order.
Yes. Ooh. And really the one unfortunate thing about that film is that they only got one take of the original ending. You know what that was?
The pie fight.
Yes.
Oh, in the war room.
The pie fight in the war room.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
And you can actually see in various portions of the final edit where you can see there are tables that have pies laid out and they've got everything staged leading up to it, and Kubrick did as much as he could to excise all of those when they could not get the footage that he needed. But it turned out that they did one take, they weren't happy with it, and they did not have the dry cleaning budget to clean all of the costumes in order to do a second take. So it ended up being cheaper for them to recut things and edit in just that Slim Pickens riding the bomb over that what we would now refer to as a green screen's background, and just chop in some DOD atomic test footage.
Now, what's everybody's opinion on the total ripoff of that film that was totally not even remotely close to the type of cinematic masterpiece that we're discussing, which was Failsafe, which was also a nuclear-themed film, but...
The weird thing is that Failsafe is the original work.
Yes.
What?
And Failsafe actually predated it.
No.
Yes. Not the movie, but it was a book.
The book predated it.
And this was originally optioned by Kubrick.
Yes.
And
it was actually the basis for what became Dr. Strangelove. But by the time they had finished a script that Kubrick was satisfied with, it was so drastically different from the book that they excised any reference to the original novel or the original option, script option.
Well, the reason I phrased it the way I did was because Dr. Strangelove is a cinematic masterpiece. I mean, you can watch it beginning to end.
Here's the thing about Failsafe.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you do talk about Failsafe and cinematic productions, you have to specify which one.
I thought it was made in like 2004. It starred George Clooney and Don Cheadle.
Here's the question. Did you see...
That was live, teleplay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, did you watch it live?
I did.
Okay. Because if you watch it with the version that they released later as a recording of the live teleplay...
Oh my gosh, you're making me want to pull out my VHS now. Go ahead.
It is actually quite different.
No.
Yes.
They reshot portions of it?
They did not reshoot anything. But what they did was they excised portions of it where perhaps the timing wasn't quite right. Or the actor didn't quite deliver the line right, and so they might have some small bits of redubbing or some small tweaks.
No kidding.
A little bit of editing here, a little bit of editing there, tighten things up. Because I remember watching it live, because that was such a rarity to have...
At that time, yeah.
In, what was that, 2000s?
It was in the 2000s, yeah, early 2000s.
It was late 90s, early 2000s, I don't remember exactly, but... I think it was about 2000, actually.
I would say, 2000, 2001, maybe.
Yeah, it was definitely... It could not have been later than 2001, because that would have had a drastically different tone.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's true. It must have been right around
I remember the experience. It was right around 2000, maybe 99, 2000, 2001. early 2001. But I very much remember it being a very big event. And at that time, like, the only live-ish broadcast, television broadcast that we had were sports events and award shows.
Right.
And, like, local news. Mm-hmm. Everything else was pre-recorded and everything else. And this was not... Not only very rare thing, where they were doing a live dramatic production, but they were deliberately doing things where they were trying to shoot it in a way with live effects being done to convert what they were color cameras being used.
Right.
And they were turning it into black and white broadcast. I mean, rich black and white, given that it's like 2000, everyone's got a color TV by then.
Yeah. Also, one thing that was different about the original Failsafe versus the 2000 versions, if I'm not mistaken, the son, George Clooney's son, tries to sort of talk him off the ledge. I don't really feel like I recall that the son was at all present in the original. So it was almost like there was just an emotional leverage, an excuse,
yes,
perhaps,
to
avert the error they're about to make. But,
yeah, they did introduce a few more elements in the later production, trying to adjust it to slightly more modern sensibilities.
So, well, the tone of this show has changed really drastically since I sat down. I feel like I'm just on an emotional roller coaster. I feel like now I'm much more relaxed than I was when I sat down. Things have really calmed down.
Yeah, it's a lot less chaotic right now in Radio Statler, though we wouldn't mind if people wanted to join us and increase some of the chaos in here.
Yeah, so
I'm okay with maybe another 20 minutes or so of having nice, relatively sedate chats. I mean, it is like 3:30 in the morning here.
So in other words, for me, it's like, okay, I can't do that much calculus.
It's either really, really late or way, way too early.
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, it comes down to very simple math of this is a bad time.
3 hours of sleep. Two meals a day, is it? And then
three,
one
two,
shower?
One. Yep.
3-2-1, minimum 3 hours of sleep, two meals, one shower. Yeah, so...
So, yeah, no, we're good. So it's about 3 in the morning, so that means, you know, we'll bounce out of here in a little bit, get some 3 hours of sleep, and then...
We will stay on the air as best we can until someone comes to relieve us here in the studio.
Well, you know, right now we're providing live coverage of HOPE, which is the... We are the only station right now providing
absolutely
live, continuous coverage of HOPE.
Of the local NBC affiliate on Thanksgiving.
Let's provide an update on the status of the elevators at the Hotel Penn. They're broken, for the most part. Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah.
That's we're done with the status report on that. No. And now let's move on.
The escalators haven't.
They have
broken
not
today.
Yet failed.
They have not yet broken today.
Not yet. Well, I mean today in the sense that it's Sunday now.
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
They totally broke Saturday and Friday and Thursday.
They didn't break. They just converted to stairs.
Well, yes, that is the...
Oh, no. Oh, no, you didn't. I'm about to...
Now we have to get into that whole thing.
Now we do. So I have to just say it. Stairs are regulated devices in the United States. The Americans with Disabilities Act provides for specific riser heights and configurations of stairs. And escalators tend to have like 1 foot step heights between a particular stair and the next one once they're actually fully extended. Because the step height is relative also, which is prohibited. So like a staircase can't have relative step heights. You can't just build a staircase and be like, well, the first step's going to be 2 inches up and the next one's going to be 6. They don't do that. You have to have consistent staircases wherever you are building them now. With that being said, the other reason it's not a moving staircase, not a stationary staircase, is that it can move at any time. You don't know why it stopped. So you get on a staircase that's just
stopped.
And all of a sudden it decides to move again. And it can be problematic. That's why the only thing I can suggest to any listener out there that's thinking of taking an escalator that's broken down,
Just don't. You're taking your life in your hands. Just please. Think of your family.
Well, that's the situation when you live in a country where these are regulated. Interesting thing, Canada does not have anything equivalent to an ADA.
Ah.
So
really?
It's one
now
of
because
these...
I had recently heard a few references to from Canada referring to a local equivalent.
That might be jurisdictional, but not at a national level. There is no consensus of that across the country. Now, does that mean that people don't build for accessibility? No, it doesn't. For example, again, I'm in Vancouver. The entire SkyTrain network, which is a driverless metro system, the largest in the world, in the entirety of it is accessible. Elevators.
Now, that's very impressive, given that how much most places in the U.S. struggle to even include accessibility in their basic design, even when they are brand new constructions in this time period. And it actually is very unfortunate that we do not have my usual co-host, Neo, here, who actually for the past two Hopes has delivered talks specifically about accessibility, given that he spends most of his professional time dealing with issues related to that.
Did you say Neo or Zio?
Neo.
Didn't Zio do...
It is pronounced Neo.
Oh, it's pronounced
Neo. It is spelled Zio.
Oh, okay. Then now I understand.
It is the same person.
Oh, yes. I was there.
It's one of, it's one of those things where it's spelled differently than it said.
I'm pretty sure Zio did an accessibility talk today. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It was a good talk. If anybody is interested in looking up the slides of this talk, github.com/XIONYC/A11YD is the link.
And as in accessibility, damn it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's actually a problem that I have in my workplace where my current day job, I work for a tech nonprofit and I'm going to be here talking about it later. I work for Free Geek Vancouver one of the problems that we have with our space is that it is not accessible. There are two approaches to the facility, and one is up two flights of stairs, and the other is through an alley where, you know, you still have to go up at least half a flight in order to enter the most frequented part of the facility. It is unfortunate, but then again, Vancouver sadly has an occupancy rate for commercial and for residential properties that makes New York look like it's just wide open.
Yeah. No, it's a very densely populated space, as I understand it.
99% plus rental occupancy rate in that city.
Wow.
Yeah.
And property values are comparable to what you'd find in, say, San Francisco, except that the median income is half as much.
Which, I mean, is kind of a problem all over. Also, I think this is exacerbated somewhat by the tendency for areas with very high property values to increasingly attempt to cater to people using the real estate as an investment opportunity rather than its original purpose of actually being used to house people and things that need shelter.
This is a serious...
Night Owl, I'm sorry, could you just confirm for me what time is it? Because I'm pretty sure it's about 2008 right now, where we're discussing this housing bubble.
I think it's
about
1963.
Yeah, we've definitely been feeding a housing bubble just in general in this country with the free money economics.
No, absolutely.
You know, we have some serious systemic issues with our housing and industry.
Absolutely, and we've been, as soon as it crashes, we just feed more money into it until it bubbles again, and then we are so shocked that this same thing that happened 10 years ago is happening again.
In Canada, the situation is actually worse, and one of the reasons why is, let's presume that I'm Eurotrash that comes in with a big bundle of euros and wants to buy a building.
Sure.
Okay. If I go try and buy it, they will demand to know where my big strap of euros came from.
All right.
I go up to Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, which are also known as the only cities in Canada.
Kind of, yeah.
And come up as Eurotrash with that same strap of bills, the general response is, eh.
Yeah.
And that is actually the technical term that that one of the legal professionals I spoke with gave me.
Impressive.
There's no idea. There's no KYC up there. There's no know your customer. And up until recently, obtaining visas for millionaire investors was...
No, that's still a thing in the U.S., mm-hmm. where that is one of the few visa systems that has not been cut back severely.
Well, wow, shocker there. Yeah. The one that involves large sums of upfront money is still alive and well.
Gee. Canada actually stopped that generally because they did a study in 2015 which showed that a refugee will provide more in tax revenue to the government than one of these millionaire investors does.
I am not shocked, actually.
One is going to participate in an economy very directly in the neighborhood that they're going to exist in.
Yep.
And the other one tends to be absentee.
Exactly.
Very much. And that is exactly the problem in New York City, where almost every single plot of land is owned and very, very, very tightly sold. But very little of it is actually occupied.
Yeah, for example.
And people treat it as an investment, and then they are shocked, just shocked, when their demands for increased revenue from these properties that they are holding as investments end up forcing out all of the people who actually make those areas of New York an attractive place to live for the handful of people who do actually manage to live there.
Yeah. One nice thing that's going on in Vancouver and BC generally. Fun fact, BC right now, British Columbia right now has the most left-wing government and the most left in a left-wing country. It's the most left-wing government larger jurisdiction government you're going to find in North America right now.
Quite probably.
And the government right now is run by a coalition of the NDP, which is a center-left party, and the Green Party, who are the Green Party.
Right.
They've actually expanded a foreign buyer's tax in BC that now covers basically every place that has seen a lot of foreign capital come in, and it's at 20%. And there are proposals by a good number of people to try and implement a program like what they've done in New Zealand to finally deal with the speculation problem they're dealing with. In New Zealand, once the Jacinda government was elected this past year, they implemented basically a no foreigner policy on property ownership. I'm simplifying greatly. Basically, in order to own property in New Zealand, you have to be either a Kiwi or an Aussie. And the reason Australians are allowed in is because there's what's known as the Trans-Tasman Agreement that gives Australians instant permanent residency in New Zealand.
And given their relative lack of proximity to kind of anything else, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And this concept is not an alien concept to Western countries. I mean, in Denmark, for example, you have to have been there for 5 years before you can even purchase property. And that's even if you're a citizen. As someone that actually is Eurotrash, but not a Dane, I couldn't even buy land in Denmark.
Well, I mean, if I remember correctly, Denmark is outside of the European Union and sort of has a special relationship with the Schengen free movement area.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated when you look at all the overlaying circles of European integration.
Yeah.
And Denmark is
one of
the
Scandinavian countries kind of have a special, almost but not quite, relationship. Not quite on par with what Britain had a couple of years ago.
Yep. And what they're probably going to get again because of the fact that they can't Brexit, well, that they don't know how to Brexit.
I'd say that even achieving the level of relative integration and simultaneous independence that the Scandinavian countries have is kind of wishful thinking at this point.
Oh, yeah. I imagine, based on how much of a cluster Brexit has been, that they are going to, Brussels is going to basically, for lack of a better analogy, bend them over hard and serve up the brie.
Hmm.
Well, their entire rest of the Eurozone is absolutely going to align and punish the UK.
Oh, quite right.
For
I mean, the thing that really amazes me is, as a person of largely Irish heritage, the complete lack of attention by the Tory party, which is, the Tory and the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland, which is propping up the Tory party in government, their complete lack of understanding of the situation in Ireland, that is the island of Ireland, not the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland specifically, but the situation on that island, because it is the United Kingdom's only land border with an EU country, or really with any country.
Gibraltar is only an indirect, because Gibraltar
and
is a territory.
And Gibraltar is kind of a... Gibraltar is special in a lot of other ways.
Yes. Tax dodging anyone?
Sure. There's the Channel Islands as well, which are their own special weird thing, but they're also tiny islands in the middle of the channel, and therefore don't really have land borders with anyone other... Okay, there is that one where a couple of really, really rich dudes bought an island and declared it semi-independent country because they also bought a couple of noble titles.
Was that Sealand?
No.
That was a World War II era air defense platform in the middle of either the Channel or the North Sea. I forget exactly.
It was
exactly
in the middle of the North Sea.
Yes.
About, if I remember, like 3.5 miles off the coast.
Yes,
of
but that was the key thing, was that it was far enough off the coast that it was technically in international water and outside of territorial waters, and they therefore used that technicality as an attempt to declare themselves an independent nation state. And then it kind of turned out that it's really hard to actually, like, do any sort of subsistence farming or sustain agriculture, period, on what is basically an oil derrick that was converted to have some heavy anti-aircraft cannon on
right.
it, like 80 years ago. So maybe, like, interesting idea, but kind of problematic in logistical terms.
Then came Haven Co.
Yes.
That was fun.
There was that. There was the coup.
Does anybody remember Reddit Island, when Reddit wanted to buy their own island?
Oh, God.
That was...
Buying your own island has been...
Oh, that's easy.
I think they were planning to do it with Bitcoin, but that was back in 2011, so they probably lost all their Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That's sad. I'm
fairly sure that was actually the plot of at least one James Bond novel.
But the thing is, you'd be surprised how easy it actually is to purchase an island.
Right. The real trick is finding an island where you can actually claim it as sovereign territory
make it habitable.
And actually make it happen and make it not instantly kill you.
Yeah.
Because really what generally happens when you do that is that whatever government you are attempting to secede from says, okay, fine. We're just going to stop trading with you because we don't recognize your government as legitimate. And then it turns out that the sandbar full of rusting ship hulks that crashed there half a century ago don't actually provide much in the way of fertile soil, and you really have no goods to export. And really all you can trade on is your nominal sovereignty, which it turns out is a lot less useful for, say, building data havens or creating some weird-ass tax shelters.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, like I said, with Haven Co., I mean, a long-time acquaintance of mine, friend of Hope, Ryan Lackey, who has spoken many times in the past. He was involved deeply with Haven Co. I first was So I first met him at HAL 2001, which was that incarnation of the Dutch Hacker Conference.
Yes.
Very interesting.
That was part of the hacking at random, hacking at... Yes.
Yes. Okay. The Dutch camps... The reason I refer to them as just the Dutch camps as opposed to giving them a more descriptive name is that every 4 years they change their name.
Right.
So, for example, 2001 was HAL because, of course, it is.
Sure.
1997 was HIP, if I remember correctly. Hacking in Progress.
That sounds about right.
That was the one that wanted... They actually attempted... back 20 years ago, to have these simultaneous conferences between HOPE and the Dutch
conference.
That's
right. That's right.
And keep in mind, this was 1997 technology with 1982 bandwidth.
Yes.
So you had to install RealPlayer, and you could stream it at 56K.
Wait, there was a 56K connection to the Puck building? Oh, my God.
No,
that was about 14.4 kbps, and you were mostly doing it over acoustic coupler.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the really amazing thing was they actually had Ethernet within the facility. It's just that all of that Ethernet eventually led to a single acoustic coupler modem.
Yes. The story
or something very similar to it.
Bandwidth at HOPE has been interesting over the years.
Yes.
I mean, back in, I think until, what was it, until last time, actually, we still used a time before. Oh.
It's been a few HOPE since we had...
Fiber.
Since we had... Yeah, we had that very, very fast microwave point-to-point link.
Yes, that was pretty good.
A couple of years before that. I think that was the first time that we really had something really serious.
Yes.
Before that, we were dealing with some Metro E, and before that, some T3, and before that, T1, and before that, ISDN, and before that, some... really funky stuff that no one even really remembers the name of.
Pigeons with packets on their legs. Got
yeah, it. Pretty much. Yeah.
And then back to the Dutch conferences. 2013 was Ohm Organize Hack Make. Last year was Shaw Still Hacking Anyway. What it will be in 2021,
right.
I don't know. And again, it's something that I recommend for folks if you want to get that experience of HOPE community and have experiences with more hackers from all over. I recommend going to Chaos Camp next year. It's going to be in August in Germany, around Berlin. So it's a good excuse to go there and have that great experience when you run across your first train station with Club Mate bottles, just filling up the cooler. You know you're on the right track.
Yeah, so we are going to take a brief break, this being 3:55 in the morning. And I am going to very quickly try to find... Ah, yes. Put that in there.
That should do it.
Hackers on Planet Earth from 1994. A presentation on the New York City Metro card. If I can actually get this to work.
It's still in use.
Yeah.
20 plus years later, not to be replaced until 2020, from what I understand, with a contactless system.
Oh, so that's actually not going to work on there.
Sure.
Come back. And let's try again on a different laptop. If I can figure out how this works.
Weird backstory about the Metro card is that...
Go right ahead.
Like most transit card systems around the world, the company that is responsible on the back end for the Metro card is Cubic Transportation Systems. They are a branch...
Really?
Yes. Cubic handles the payment infrastructure for pretty much every transit agency in North America, with the notable exception of Montreal, which uses a Calypso-based system.
Hmm.
They also were involved in the creation of the London Oyster card.
Oh, yes.
The Oyster, and for those of you who are not familiar with public transit in London, it is amongst one of the most complex fare structures
It really is.
In the world. Because
it's been a while since I dealt with it, but it was...
There are 9+ rail zones. I say that because there are a couple of far-flung stations which have special fares. They have peak and off-peak pricing. For example, if you ever watch, for instance, in the Harry Potter movies, they actually have one of them where they go through a oyster turnstile. You have to tap in and tap out to be properly charged.
That's right.
They even have special routings where one can avoid the central zone, Zone 1, which is basically the central business district. Imagine basically...
The City of London.
The City of London proper. And in New York, and the New York analogy for me would basically, in my opinion, be Penn Station on South. Yeah,
it's a little. It's a little smaller. It's actually. True, but I mean, in terms it's of, actually more like 14th Street South.
Well, I'm. Yeah, I mean, in general, though. I mean
it's
this
the square.
Is like,
it's the square, square mile
plus a little bit more. They have fare capping. So, for instance, the idea being that you shouldn't pay more than a one-day pass for riding.
Yeah.
Again, it's an amazingly complex system, and it's all handled with this with a contactless card, and it's amongst one of the best transit fare payment systems out there. The only one that comes close would be probably the Octopus card in Hong Kong, which was independently developed, and which is also widely used as a payment card for random stuff.
Really?
New York's transit infrastructure and transit and fare payment scheme, in contrast, is an order of magnitude simpler. Now, the MetroCard is good at being fast. I mean, entering the subway with it, unless you happen to be an older politician who somehow doesn't know which way to stick in, it's pretty quick. That's, I think, the one challenge that the contactless systems hadn't quite gotten to at this up to now. I mean, typically from what I've experienced, it's about half a second to 1 second for a read, which in New York time is that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drag.
Exactly.
But hopefully this will actually work.
Yeah. And I mean, it is surprising.
And then we will take a brief break while our listeners enjoy, hopefully.
What's our call sign?
Our call sign for the radio, for the amateur radio special event station, is W2H Whiskey 2 Hotel.
What are we currently on?
We are currently on the interwebs.
Oh, so yes. so whiskey dot yes. Hotel.
Yes. Oscar, radio
Papa
dot
Echo.
Radio dot hope dot net is where you can find us. If you somehow are listening to us and have not connected to that site, please let us know in the IRC chat. We would truly appreciate to know where else we can be heard.